Well, today we are starting a series called Overwhelmed. We're going to spend 5 weeks looking at Psalm 139. Now, Psalm 139 has the power to change your life and mine. It's a study about the love of God, being overwhelmed by the love of God. For 3,000 years, people have meditated on Psalm 139, and many people can attest to how it transformed their life. Now, when I proposed to Dawn 28 years ago or so, I spent a considerable amount of time planning for this grand event. It was the middle of February, and no, I'm not going to propose to her on Valentine's Day. But shortly after Valentine's Day, I decided that was going to be the day. I had a table reserved at this restaurant, right by the fireplace. I imagined a cold night with the snow falling down, and we would have this romantic night by the fireplace. It turned out to be the warmest day in February, high in the 60s. Earlier in that day, I went to the restaurant, and I talked to the people there, and I gave them Dawn's engagement ring, and I asked them if they would put that engagement ring into a piece of cake. And I had it wrapped in the case, and I had wrapping around it. They said, sure, we can do that. Now, I had this elaborate plan that I had been working on for several months. I had told Dawn that my boss and his wife would like to take us out for dinner to this restaurant, and they have this amazing cake, and all they could talk about was dessert. So I kept on talking about this. I was building this up. And then my plan also was going to be this. About a week before we were planning on going out for dinner, I was going to tell her that my boss and his wife could not make it. But they said, go anyways, and they'll pick up the tab. So we did. Now, I never remember, I was a little nervous about this whole grand plan and how this might work out. And so I remember we're sitting there in this restaurant and we're eating, and then it came time for dessert. And I told her again, I said, yeah, you know what we have to get? We have to get that famous cake that everyone talks about here. She goes, yeah. She goes, I'm not really that hungry. Now, let me just tell you something. In all my dating times with her, she never refused dessert, ever. And I'm like, no, we have to get this cake. And she goes, so she came out, and the waiter came up to us and said, and I didn't really want any cake. But she says, maybe we can split one. I said, no, you know what? I'm going to have a piece of cake too. This plan was going south fast. So she goes, but I'd only like to have a small piece of cake. And I'm sweating at that point, okay? So a couple minutes later, the waiter came back with this piece of cake, which was huge. And she goes, I thought I told you I wanted a small piece. He said, ma'am, when someone tells them a small piece of cake, we always give them the largest. I'm like, oh, thank you. So the plan's working okay, and I'm nervous. And I'm waiting for her to eat this cake. And all at once, Dawn goes in this big dissertation, right? She starts telling me this long story that I don't even know what it was about. I could even care less about it. And I kept on saying, boy, this cake is really good. And she keeps on just talking away about the story. And I'm like, would you be quiet and just eat a piece of cake? So finally, at this moment, she starts eating this piece of cake. And I'm like, all right, finally we're here. And she goes, and all at once she starts taking the fork, and she goes, Lynn, there's something in my cake. And I'm like, what? No, there's nothing in your cake. She goes, yeah. She starts, and so she pulls it back, and she soon discovers that it is a ring box, okay? So she takes that ring box, and she opens it up, and I get down on one knee in that restaurant, right? And I ask her to marry me. And she gave me a pregnant pause. And I'm thinking, Is she going to turn me down softly? What is going to happen? And then I realized when I pulled the ring out that the ring was frozen, right? It was cold. It didn't sparkle. And I don't think she wanted to say yes until it started sparkling. So after the thing actually warmed up a little bit, the ring warmed up a little bit, she sparkled. And after what seemed like forever, she said yes. Whew, it was awesome. And I think, because I was not known as a romantic, okay, I think Dawn was overwhelmed by the experience. She was overwhelmed by my display. She was overwhelmed by my love for her. All evidences converged on that one moment in that restaurant in 60-degree weather by the fireplace. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been overwhelmed by love? That is what Psalm 139 is all about. David says in verse 6 in this passage, he says, "Such knowledge is too much for me." He was overwhelmed. He was gushing about God's love for him. It was almost like David was saying, "I don't know if I can handle all of this when I realize how much God loves me." And my prayer over these next 5 weeks, that you might experience this idea of being overwhelmed by God's love. That you might say at the end of this, "You know, his love is just too wonderful for me." And so we're going to spend 5 weeks talking about Psalm 39. We're going to look at different evidences of God's love for us. Now, sometimes we do need evidence of God's love, right? I mean, you say, "Well, God loves you." Well, that works sometimes, and that's good for different points. But at times, hearing those words just ring hollow. You want proof. And Psalm 139 provides that proof. Week after week, we are going to have evidences of God's overwhelming love for us. And my hope and my prayer is that at the end of this, you'll be more convinced than ever of God's love for you. That you're convinced of that. You can rest in that experience, the assurance of being loved by God. And I'd also encourage you over these next 5 weeks to dwell in Psalm 139. Read it time and time again. Read it. Let it kind of get into you. Meditate. Dwell in God's word of Psalm 39. And look for these evidences of God's love for you. And so this morning, we're going to dive into Psalm 139. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Psalm 139, 1 through 4 says this, "O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit, and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." We're going to go through different phrases of these first four verses. When David writes this psalm, this psalm is very personal for David. It's about him and God. And he says, "You know me, God." And some of us may be tempted to say, "Yeah, God knows me. Yeah, I know in my head that God says that he knows everything about us." And sometimes when we read this text, or other times, that we can feel like sometimes when we hear these words, it could be as dry as cornflakes without milk and theological doctrine. It just sort of doesn't penetrate. It doesn't get in there. But Psalm 39 is not about cornflakes without milk. It's this passionate relational doctrine that you, Lord, have searched me and you know me and you want to know me. It's like almost like saying that you're going to school and you're majoring, God's majoring in you. He wants to know all about you. He wants to open up your life and know more about you. And so some of us say, well, yes, God does know us. God knows me and I know God. And we have this tendency, we can boast of our knowledge of different people in our lives, right? I mean, many times we throw out names, boasting about people we know. And let me just confess that I did that not too long ago. Because we tend to boast out about people. Oh, yeah, so-and-so. Oh, I know them. Well, let me tell you what I did. We're in hockey season right now. And, yes, we're in hockey season. And I was talking to someone about the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I said something about Mario Lemieux, the owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Mario, yeah, I know him. Yeah, I know Mario. Yeah, he's got big dogs. They're like, whoa, he does know him. Like, oh, he's got big dogs. He lives in Zwickley, PA, and yeah, yeah, he has kids. He lives in that house up in the hill. Now, truth be told is this. I met him twice. He's with my sister. My sister is friends with him, and he was in this little town, Zwickley, PA, and we've walked through town, and I've met him a couple times when he's walking his dogs with his wife, and they stop, and my sister introduce us, and, you know, we're buddies. Mario, we hang out all the time. In fact, I'll probably be there tonight in his box on the game. I mean, so, but don't we do that at times? We throw out names, and we boast about who we know. We build a case. I mean, we also stalk people on the internet. I mean, okay, I stalk people on the internet, okay? I can find out. You know how much you can find out on the internet about people? You can find amazing amount of things about people. And what tends to happen is we research these people, and we feel like we know them, right? It's like, oh, yeah, so-and-so, yeah. And we can tell everything about them because we find this on the internet. And what tends to happen with myself and Mario and some of these other people that maybe we research and we know, we feel like we know them a lot, is it's an unbalanced relationship, isn't it? It's unbalanced. I mean, I know more about certain people than they know about me. And so it's an unbalanced relationship. But I think it comes to God sometimes that we think and we worry that sometimes we care more about God than he cares about us. Or we think we know more about God than God knows about us. But let me be clear. In Psalm 139, when he says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. This relationship that we have with God is unbalanced. But it's unbalanced the other way. God knows so much more about us than we know about him. And so we need to work on that lopsided relationship. And so the psalmist goes on and he talks about dealing with our actions. He says, you know when I sit and when I rise. Sitting seems to illustrate this inactivity of our lives. And rising seems to indicate this activity in our lives. And sometimes we think that God knows us when we are serving in the church. God knows us when we do these wonderful things for other people. And yes, he does. He knows that. But God also cares about and knows about the times we're sitting on the couch at home on our lazy boy with our feet propped up. God knows those times also. He knows all about our rising and our sitting. And God's antennas go up all the time. They just don't go up when we do something special for God. His antennas are always up. He's always tuned in to your channel. He's always tuned in to what is going on in your life. And then he goes on and says, discern my going out and my lying down. And this is me, I illustrate this as sort of like a bookend. Like the first thing in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, God is there. God knows what is going on in your life. The whole way through that day until you lay your head down at night. He is interested in every moment of your life. There's no exceptions. No matter how dull you think your life may be, God is there. And then he goes on to say, he is familiar with all my ways. Now, these words, my ways, in the Hebrew could be translated into my habits or my routines. And what is really amazing with this text is this, that God is intimately concerned about the routines and habits of your life. Do you know that he is watching you and know you when you brush your teeth in the morning? Well, when you go to that same coffee shop day after day after day, God's there. He's watching you. When you buy that same donut every day, God's going to the angel, hey, look down there. He's buying that angel, that donut again. He's got that donut again. We think it's boring. We think it's routine. God cares about us. He's interested in us. God is mesmerized by our story because he loves us so much. Do you know that you can make $150,000 by selling your life story rights? Do you know that? Yeah. $150,000 you can make if you sell your life story to Hollywood. And also, you get 5% of the profits of the movie. So I'm encouraging you, if you want to make $150,000, just sell your life story to Hollywood. You're like, Lynn, my life isn't a Hollywood movie. It's kind of boring. It doesn't have a lot of action in it. But you know what God says? When we say that we can sell our story, God says, I'll buy it. I'll buy your story. I'm interested. I'm interested in the times where you're sitting and the times where you're lying down and the times where you're doing things and the times where you're going to the donut shop, the times where you're hanging out with your children. I am interested in every part of your life. God never changes the channel. He is always tuned in to you. God not only knows about our actions, but he also knows about our thoughts. When he says, he perceives my thoughts from afar. You ever heard this word, a penny for your thoughts? People want to know what you're thinking. And sometimes when we read this and we say, oh no, he perceives my thoughts. Oh, you mean he really does perceive what's going on in my life, my thoughts? My thoughts could result in sin, and it could result in conviction of sin, and we could seek forgiveness. And yes, that might be part of what God does, and I'm not saying that, but that is not what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 139. He's not talking about you to feel horrible or terrible about things. Instead, he is celebrating. Not as a conviction, but of his great love for us. And when he says, perceive your thoughts from afar, does it mean that God is so far away? No, it means that before it enters our conscience, these subconscious thoughts, God knows them before we do. He knows them better. Do you know that when you wake up and you're in a funk, or you're a little salty to your husband or to your wife, do you know that you can't figure it out a lot of times what's going on in your life? Guess what? God knows. He knows why you're in a funk. He knows why you're a little crabby that day. He understands. He knows what's going on in your life. Years ago, I spent some time seeing a counselor. And counselors strive to get to know what is going on in your mind. They help sort things out, right? So you go to different sessions and they pepper you with questions after questions after questions. This is the first time I was ever at a counselor. And so I was getting a little annoyed by all the questions. And then I try to figure out, well, you know what? He's trying to understand my thoughts. He's trying to understand what makes me tick. He's using these questions to understand what is going on in my thought process. And then after session one and session two and session three and session four, I'm starting to think, man, this guy is really interested in me. I'm like, well, yeah, he's getting paid. He ought to be interested in me. And so he was going on and trying to figure things out. But like a good counselor, God is saying, I'm fascinated by the working of your brain. What brings you joy and what brings you disappointments? When you're discouraged, when we don't even understand our own thoughts, and there's limits to that, God says, I do. I understand. It's comforting to know that God knows our thoughts. And he goes on, he says, not only about our actions and about our thoughts, but also about our words. He said, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. God is intrigued by the words that we say. Do you know God is so intrigued? He can't wait to hear that when we come on a Sunday morning and we stand and we lift praises to him, those words that are going up to God is amazing. He's tapping the angels again. Look, look what's happening. Look at the words that are coming out of their mouths. Angels, do you hear it? Do you know that he celebrates the words? He knows the words are coming out of our mouths. The other Saturday when we had Hilltop Fun Fest here, when we are ministering to others, we are showing gifts of hospitality to people in our community. God treasures those words that we speak to others. The times where we speak of God's love, God says it's beautiful. Do you know that God loves it when we laugh? Do you know God loves it when we cry? Do you know God loves it when we have something funny to say? God is there. He's watching. He's listening. He's hearing every word that we say. God cares about us. He's obsessed with our words and our thoughts and our actions. And he demonstrates his interest in you more than anyone else ever will or ever can. And so let me challenge you this week. When you're sitting on the couch, when you're watching the news, when you're walking to go out and empty the trash, when you're getting ready to crawl into bed, God is interested in every part of that. That moment might not be sacred to you, but that moment is sacred to God. When no one else cares about what you do and those little things you do and the routines of life, God cares. See, do not miss out on a love like that. See, the one who loves you, the one who cares for you with a love that doesn't make sense in our world today. We have an opportunity, potential to enjoy an intimate relationship beyond anything available. We have a great opportunity to know the one who loves us with a love that does not make any sense. And so I would like to just pray for us this morning. Lord, we want to thank you that you are so intimately care about every moment of our life. Lord, you have searched us and you know each one of us. And we can't even fathom at times how much you love us. It doesn't even make sense. Even sending your son Jesus, that you have this interest in our redeemed life, that you want to buy our life story. Lord, I pray that you would open up our eyes to your presence and to your engagement into our story. Lord, that you might continue to show that love. And Lord, we confess. We confess here today and now that many times this relationship is so unbalanced that your interest and your care and your love on every detail of our life is 1,000 times more than our interest and our care and our love for you. Lord, I just hope that we can bridge that gap just a bit as we go through Psalm 39. Grasp the love that you have for each one of us. And Lord, that we might grasp that amazing relationship. Lord, I am so thankful that you did a search on my life. And that search has resulted in you knowing me. And I'm glad that you did a search on these people here today. You searched. You did search engines and you searched for as much as you could find. And you know each one here intimately. And Lord, that amazing love. That amazing love that no one else can provide is available to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.